outside of the usual realms where we have a talk in terms of like actually putting some structured stuff together. Instead of it being so dry, I think it's some of the feedback I got from the videos I was doing was a handful of people coming to me saying that I've mentioned Ella a few times and sort of bigged her up and some of the plans that she's done, and she doesn't really exist inside of the videos. I think you're briefly like in one of the small snippets, you're just in the corner of one of the group chats that I took a picture of. But that's all I got. So I thought it would be nice to just have some dedicated time to just chat, you know?
Well, why not? Here
Yeah, man, that's it. This is it.
I
So I've, in a more structured fashion, I got a handful of questions. I sent you some of these before, so I'll be interested to see what your thoughts were on these. But are you happy for me to just go from the top?
Yeah, go for it. Go
Oh
for
man, you know, I hope that you've done your homework.
it.
Between music management and all things creative at Studio Curve, what inspired you to venture outside of a 9 to 5? And it would be nice to have a bit of like long tail and a little bit of the history and what kind of led you up until today as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've like my mum works in the arts. Like she's always worked in the arts in a kind of like project management sort of role. Like she used to work for the council in Reading in the art kind of department. So I guess that's always been present is creative people doing creative things, which is nice. So I think I've always had that level of connection to the creative industries in that I love consuming art and film and books and all the rest of it. And I just think when I left uni, I just really struggled to know what I wanted to do. Like I had no clear vision of what my dream job was. And it like working with artists and creatives is genuinely the only thing that like I have any like I see any value in doing, and that makes me feel like I'm adding something and that it's important. Like that's kind of the only thing that I've done so far that yeah gives me that little level of satisfaction. Yeah, I think that's probably because if I wasn't doing Studio Curve or Soft Serve, I think I'd be wholly miserable.
Have you had an
Meaning.
experience where you've gone into something between, let's say, you at university and with a lot of exposure to the arts? Has there been one avenue you've tried to go into that you've dipped your toe in and been like, oh, actually, I'm not interested in that at all? Or
I'm
have you been
trying to
quite
think.
fortunate
There
to
was
sort of lie in
so.
front of things that you like?
Yeah, I think I definitely enjoy doing the more kind of like artist development or like getting involved in a project quite at the start and kind of like having that involvement with the concept and the ideas behind it and kind of being involved at that level. I think that kind of adds something for it for me rather than just kind of going through the motions of like the really businessy end, which you kind of have to do anyway, which is good to have an understanding of as well. But I think my strength really comes with connecting ideas together and sort of, yeah, finding those connections and making them when I'm hearing, different things. Like if a project is about something that reminds me of something else, or I don't know, finding the possibilities that like maybe the artists haven't thought of, or people that they hadn't thought of, talking to or whatever it is. Like when Seb was doing his proxy and like how much that aesthetic mapped onto like electronic music and a lot of the DJs that I love and listen to, regularly, it was kind of an area that he's just not really, have got much experience in. So it was, I like doing stuff like that where you have an idea, you see the idea and you kind of elevate it. That's the funnest stuff. I think, yeah, maybe the more clinical stuff I'm not as I'm not as good at.
Oh, mate, that's what
But
we're a team for,
you're
do you know
really
what
good at
I
those
mean?
bits, so that's
Well,
fine.
the thing is, if you don't need to be, if you don't find it interesting, then you don't need to spend time in it as such, because I think in the arts worlds, there's enough space for someone to exist in their own realm, you know? But when it
Really
comes to
true.
like working with an artist, I know that you've worked with a fair few across different projects, like that's including across eShell, like across Studio, like in every sort of realm, especially in proxy, for example. What's the research that you kind of do when you get involved with an artist, and what's the process? Do you have a process that you kind of go through in your mind, or what's an example of like an inspiration that you had when you were working with an artist, for example? There's a few questions kind of back to back, which is
Yeah,
to
I'm trying to think
explore
back.
that
Well,
realm.
in terms of like research and stuff, I think I mean a lot of it's online now, to be honest. It would be like when we started working with Chisara, I went through, I listened to all of the stuff that she had on Spotify, looked through her socials, her website. You kind of get a sense for that kind of their personality, their way of thinking, how they're choosing to share their work. I think it's a very interesting thing to like have that kind of research that you do first, or maybe after, but that the kind of differences between when you actually talk to an artist and meet an artist, and they can tell you what they find important and how they see their work and how they want to share it and all the rest of it. I think it's an interesting comparison to kind of come at it with fresh eyes and see, like, is what you're putting out there, is that what you want to be putting out there? Am I getting what you think you're selling me, basically? Yeah, which I think is always like really useful to have as kind of like a sort of objective eye, definitely. But yeah, just like looking at what anyone has out there, really, and then just talking to people generally, like. Yeah, it's always interesting to hear about a project from someone when you've already listened to that, already watched it, or know what it is, and then have that extra layer of like depth to it. Yeah, can't remember what the other questions were now.
It was more like, well, you already gave, I asked for like an example in particular where like the process that you went through with it. And it sounds like
Yeah.
that if I've got this correct, that when you're in a situation where you speak to an artist, you'll do a deep dive beforehand where you want to get
Yeah.
an idea of like the vibe and your understanding of what they're trying to do. And then you speak to them and then you try and understand what they're trying to do and see if that
Yeah.
matches up. And like,
Yeah.
do you feel that from your side of things, and I guess the income comparison and contrast to their side of things, what's been an example where something's been like really distant, where you interpreted something, but actually what they've trying to get at was kind of different? Has it ever come about?
Oh. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's ever been a situation like that. There's definitely been times where it's someone's had to explain kind of what they're aiming for with it, and I'll get it. But I don't think there's ever been a time where it's been like hugely different. I'm trying to think, can you think of any times where we've had this? Like, I
Oh
can't.
yeah, to be fair, we've worked together with a lot of
Yeah,
artists
quite
in
a lot of
particular for a long period of
artists.
time, I
I'm
guess.
trying to think if we ever had a point where it was like, oh, I'm not getting that from this.
Yeah. I
Yeah, I don't
think
know, to
that.
be honest. That's an interesting question. And I'm sure there are times where like I'm not working with that artist, so maybe I've not, I've missed something or whatever. Yeah, that's an interesting question, actually.
I
I
wonder if it's a reflection on the
can't.
way that, because I know that you're a really well-read person, like in the fact that,
Yeah.
as you said, like if you're spending a lot of time absorbing art as like a part of enjoyment, but also willing to reflect onto the world as well, it wouldn't surprise me that your level of understanding is so willing to receive what's given to you with as little lenses and bias as much as possible, so that actually translating that is probably really easy for you because you've seen so many different examples in so many
Yeah.
different like realms where people have just said things and you're like, I'm going to put myself in your shoes completely, and then
Yeah.
that's that.
And it is like, I mean, I did English lit at uni, so it literally, it is
You
what I'm
had
good
no
at.
choice. That's our real shoehorn as well. And it's
I
like,
do.
this is
Yeah.
what it is. Rain means
Yeah.
sadness.
Yeah, that's it. And like, I think when you do, like, I don't know, if you, even like just the basic, like, I am well read compared to some people, but actually, compared to other people, I'm probably like at the lower end. And like, but even just having that like level of knowing a few things, or knowing a few theories, or understanding those in a certain way, you can pick up on so many different things and make mad connections without trying that hard. It just things just kind of remind you Or like maybe you'll pick up on a reference that you wouldn't have picked up on if not, and yeah, things like that,
Man.
which yeah, is cool. Like Atlanta is an example of something I've been doing that a lot with. Have you seen Atlanta?
No.
Like Donald Glover's, there's three series out now, and it's yeah, a series by Donald Glover, and it's kind of about an artist called Paperboy, like a rapper, and his manager, who's his cousin as well, and sort of about their lives. But it's almost like some of the episodes are just totally random. Like there's no real advance in the plot in those episodes, but they're often my favorite because it's just quite surreal. And I don't know, a lot of it is obviously around racism, and there's like, they make a point, but it's also quite funny, quite dry. I don't know, it's really, and it's all around like music management, which is also kind of interesting to like.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. I think you'd love it, Kelly. It's really, but that has so many, it's one of those programs that's so rich with references that you don't really, if you miss a reference, you're not, doesn't matter. But if you are kind of tuned into that, there is so much there. It's crazy. It's actually
Wow.
mad. And it's one of those ones where they're definitely making a point, but it doesn't, it's not like polemic. It doesn't feel like they're trying to, you know, like batter you with the point. And like, you know, it's just an interesting, like thought-provoking kind of thing, as well as being actually quite funny and entertaining as well. Yeah, it's
So it
really
kind of like
good.
they make things that like come and go and willingness. And if you're willing to pick up on them, you can actually kind of design your own perspective on it as it goes along, though.
And like, I mean, sometimes it will do that and you can't get away from it. Like I just watched an episode and it was all about, it was like all about the idea of like retribution payments and white people having to pay black people for the fact that they were enslaved by their, you know, ancestors. And it's this idea of like, okay, well, what would that look like? And like, how would that happen? And it's just a really, it's such an interesting episode, and actually follows a white character in that episode. So your kind of feeling is like, you kind of feel bad for this guy, but it's also kind of like, it's very interesting. It's very, yeah, it's an interesting sort of take on it, which, yeah, that's cool. You should watch it. It's really good.
So that was still Atlanta, right?
Yeah. So
So
that's this what I mean. It'll just have a
then
random
one
episode.
episode's just been removed from the storyline and it's just like
Yeah.
focusing on a certain point.
Series
That's
two,
really
I'm pretty
interesting.
sure most of them, I'm not really sure how much of them have that much plot in it. You know, it's like all these kind of random like vignettes almost.
Mad.
But you don't care, you know, it's not that you're thinking, oh, well, what's going on? It's like, oh, sick. That was a cool episode. Yeah, it's kind of, it is cool.
That's really, yeah, really interesting because as we know, him and like the mainstream element of things has always put forward like his really unfiltered perspective on what he thinks of
Yeah,
things, which I think is like there's always a
it
place
is
for it. And I
that.
think the people that filter themselves are like, well, they lose their identity, really.
Yeah,
But that's really
he's a
interesting.
genius. Like he is one of the artists of our time, I think. Yeah, completely. Yeah, it's a really cool
I
series.
like the fact that he. Not only is he like a musician performer, at the same time that he's also like a really good actor as well, like
Yeah,
really
as well as like
impressive.
he's executive producer on it and writes some of
Man.
it as well. So it's like clearly very linked to him.
Yeah. Is that
But like,
Netflix or is that Amazon Prime or?
no, I think it's on Disney Plus. It used to be, it was on BBC for a little bit. They had like a
Yeah.
couple of the series on BBC for a bit, but I've just been watching it on Disney Plus at the
Fair.
moment. Yeah.
That's cool. I love stuff like that. I mean, look, every time it's funny because you've actually fast
I
forwarded to one of the other questions. I was thinking
know, I
about
just
that earlier.
thought that, but.
Well, I'll tell you what, look, while we're on the topic, I'll dive into it. But like, I wonder if that might be a good way to. So I'll tell you what the question is, right? It was, I know you're a very well-read character, and across this year, has there been anything that you've read or come across that has inspired you towards learning a new perspective or a way of thinking, particularly in the creative industries? Now, what you've mentioned about Atlanta does actually make a lot of
Is that,
sense, but I
yeah.
suppose that you can use that as an example if you want to, because we've gone into the depth of what the meaning is, I suppose, and
Yeah,
how like
yeah.
it relates to you. And I suppose that from your understanding of that, or you can bring in a new example, whatever that you
Yeah.
prefer. How do you feel that reflects in your contribution towards the creative world in terms of not necessarily strictly just to Studio Curve and to Softserve, but just in general, do you find that your contributions and your levels and what you do is always ever changing courtesy of the influence, or do you just take bits that you feel are irrelevant and kind of move forward with this more structured identity, or how does that translate to you?
I think I'm like always looking, I don't know, I think doing English in the way that I did it and how much I actually loved it, like loved it, and sort of jumped headfirst into it. You kind of, I just have this view that like everything, I mean, the one way of putting it is like everything's a lie, like but your reality is constructed, you know, like that is kind of one thing that I left uni with, is understanding that like my opinion on something, my perspective on something is just that. It's my perspective and it's built from a myriad of different influences and experiences as I move through the world. And those are influenced by my race, by my gender, by my age, or, you know, my appearance, or all the rest of it. Understanding that like your experience of the world is not true. It's your experience, I think, is a really valuable thing to understand, because as soon as you understand that, you can listen to what someone else is saying and you can go, okay, that's true and valid because
That's your
that
reality.
person's experience. And like that is kind of how I approach things. And like there's definitely been a few things this year, and that's how I approached Atlanta, is like I'm listening to someone else's experience and opinion and perspective on something else that I can't have that opinion or perspective. You know, I can listen to it and I can understand it, but I wouldn't get there without that person giving me that information from their side of it. And I was actually talking to Seb just now about this play that I saw at the start of the year by a trans, like non-binary playwright called Travis Alabanza, and it was this amazing like one-woman show. And it's like a trans woman trapped in this public toilet that's kind of overflowing and she's trying to get out, but it's actually like this journey, like a monologue essentially, but this journey through like club toilets and school toilets and female friendship and inclusion, exclusion, just like trans rights, but almost like played out in a toilet, because actually toilets have been like a really kind of central thing to the kind of trans issue or trans rights or whatever. Like it seems to be this weird obsession of people's, you know, who's allowed in the toilets and who isn't, and safety and all the rest of it. And it was like, it was incredible. Like it was actually amazing. I took my boyfriend as well, and I was like, oh, I'm not sure if he's going to be super into this, but he absolutely loved it. And I think that, yeah, that is like, I don't know, when you can receive something and like truly receive it and reflect on your part in that, not that story specifically, but that story within society, and like where do you fit and what's your complicity and all the rest of it, I think is like a really useful tool to have. And that is what I try and use when I move forward. You know, I learn all these things and I listen to all these people talk about different things, and that is important to take that through into your work, you know, and to be aware of those things, especially as like a white middle class woman in the UK, to understand where I stand and where I fit, and when I might not be listening hard enough, you know, or when I might be taking up space in a way that's taking it away from someone else and all the rest of it. Like those are the things that I think are important when I'm working with artists, not even necessarily just artists from certain backgrounds, but just anyone, you know what I mean? It's just a good, it's about listening really, isn't it? It's about listening and understanding and not trying to be the person talking the whole time, you know?
I feel that. I guess that's a really good reflection of how that your input into the two worlds that are in this context, which is Studio Curve and to Softserve, is like how that listening element and taking on board someone else's perspective, and actually how there's a lot of rumor going around the industry in general, and has been for the past like 50, 60, 70 years, about this strict like industry plants and things like that. But then actually the perspective that you're showing is that's like they haven't experienced reality, that is what it is, and what you're trying to do is to help them in a way take up the place that is sort of permitted and well thought out, in a way that you can cooperate with them to help them grow into the best version of themselves, as well as trying to translate that into a commercial opportunity for them that's as appropriate as possible. So it's probably the best summary of the vision of Softserve, actually, is actually derived from that. But actually, that's probably a good point to go on to, because with all of these mediums you have access to, I know that you've mentioned like some really awesome examples have gone into detail of those. Where do you discover those? Is it more of like a lean forward? Are you investigating? Are you spending time searching for these things? Or do you have a network of people that you can kind of lean back into that are sharing these thoughts as well? And
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest with you. I think it's a bit of both. Like, I have people I follow online and people that I know of, and they will share people, and it will be kind of, I'm always looking for stuff in that sense. But I also have loads of people that will be like, oh, you've got to watch this, you've got to listen to this, you know, you've got to read this. It's like my family as well are like quite like that. They'll always be like, oh, have you read this book? Have you read that book? So it's kind of a bit of both, really. And like one thing that I learned from uni, which is quite a good one, is like when you're, this was more for when I was writing essays, but it's actually a really cool thing to do anyway. Is when I'd read an essay that was really helpful to me and really helpful to what I was writing about, if you go to like the bibliography and you look at all the essays they read to get the essay that they've written, and kind of just follow this line of like ideas that people have consumed and kind of turned into something else. And I think you can kind of do that with anything, you know. It's like like knowing someone's influences or whatever and kind of watching that. Or I've had a few films recently that I've watched where now I really want to go back and I want to watch their earlier films and see how the ideas are kind of in this earlier iteration and stuff like that. I think it's, yeah, I do a bit of both, definitely. But I always, there's people I listen to where I'm like, okay, if you're telling me watch this, I'll watch
Yeah, I think
it.
Seb's probably one of them, to be fair. Anything he says is great. I'm just like, okay, I'm listening to you.
Definitely, definitely.
Is there anyone, so if people were listening to this and they wanted to have a bit more, they wanted to investigate further into sort of less than mainstream, but more, not necessarily thought-provoking, but just different sort of sources, like where would you recommend that they start?
Well, Travis Alabanza is a great playwright, and I've been following them for a while, and I really enjoy following them online. And also, they've just got a book out, actually, which I haven't bought yet, but I really want to, called None of the Above. And they've got a really interesting point of view, and like being someone who's non-binary and trans and all the rest of it, and actually being very outspoken about that and their experience with that, and actually incredibly articulate and nuanced with their ideas. It's really great having someone like that who's like willing to share their thoughts on that. And there's another person called Alok Menon, I think their name is, who's again an American non-binary kind of activist, who, where these people exist and they choose to share things like this online, that's like such a useful resource for people who aren't living that experience, because it's not really fair to expect people to teach you about things, like to put that thing on someone and, you know, choose the one non-binary person you know, or the one black person you know, or whatever it is, to go, oh, I've got all these questions, teach me. But where these people are choosing to do that, it's like, okay, there's the resource, let's go and listen. And it's really interesting listening to people's kind of unfiltered views on it and kind of be schooled a little bit. I don't mind doing that, you know. But like, if like even just books, I've just loved reading books. Like Bernardine Evaristo has a great book out, which she won the Man Booker for last year. Was it the Man Booker? She won something for it last year called Girl, Woman, Other. And that's like an amazing novel. Amazing novel. I've got a book like literally here called Open Water, which is beautiful. It's just like this tiny little novella, and it's like about a relationship between two people, but it's also about being a black person in the UK and love and friendship and all the rest of it and connection. And it's, I said to Seb earlier, I was like, this, if this book wasn't a book, it would be an interpretive dance. Like, that's how it felt when I read it, just this kind of flowing sort of dance. Yeah, that's how it felt. So that's great. That's, what's this? That's this one here. It's got a really nice cover as well.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. What else have I been reading? I've been reading so much. Like, I need to just get a list together and share them all online. Because I think books are a great place to get ideas and explore things without it being like too educational, if that makes sense. Like, you can just enjoy it as the story, but there are all these underlying things going on. Yeah, I read The Mercies recently. That was great. That's like about, it's a true story. It's like in documents, but it's set in like the 1600s. And it's a like little kind of settlement in Norway. And all of their men die on this fishing trip. It's like a big storm, and they all the men in the village are dead. And so the women have to kind of take charge, I guess, and go out and do all the things the men were doing. And like the new king kind of hears about it and doesn't like it. And there's all these, so it's really, yeah, it's an interesting little kind of exploration of like, it's a rewriting of that, basically. It does exist in documents, and it did happen, but it's this woman kind of going back and imagining like what that was actually like, which is like really
retelling.
Cool.
How cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So yeah, I've got loads of stuff like that.
Look, too much. You're going to have to at least find a way to forecast all the stuff that you read online. Even if
yeah,
it's
no,
gram,
I do.
You know?
I really do. I just get a little like book. Club going or something.
How many do you read like a month?
Or it depends how big the books are, but like I've always got a book on the go, always. And I read before bed, so something short I probably get through in like a week or two.
Yeah.
And then like a longer book, maybe it'll take me a month or
so. Just
or so.
Yeah, I guess it depends. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends how big the books are, but I'm always reading, always, and I have a pile of books next to my bed at all times that just keeps growing.
What do you buy and you say, I'm gonna read this at some point, but you add it to this pile that's ever grown quicker than you're reading?
Yeah.
Is it like that?
And that's it. It's like I go into, there's a bookshop down the road from me, which is like an independent bookshop, and like one of my favorite things to do is just go in a bookshop and just like read all the blurbs if I have time to kill. I always do that and go and like read all the books, but it just means I end up buying like three books every time. I'm like, just one.
On every time, come out full bag.
Yeah, exactly. But it's got like good little hobby to have, I think.
Yeah, totally. It's brave for, I mean, yeah. people manifest their time in so many different ways. It's like, you know, if you're doing something you enjoy. One thing you mentioned earlier, well, you mentioned it a few times, and I didn't realize that this ain't on any of the questions and stuff, but you mentioned about English lit and the fact that you said that you referenced that you've done it a few times, but you also said that you really enjoyed it, and it was really, it seems like it was quite impactful on the stuff that you've done. So what kind of led up to that choice in particular? Like, what are the influences that drove you towards English literature of all the places that you could have gone to? Why that? So I want to kind of say that I know that you would have naturally led to that at some point in time.
Yeah.
But what I mean is, like, right from the early days, I want to see where the influence all started. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Like, my mum reads. Like, she reads. Yeah, I think she's usually got a book on the go, but maybe not quite as much as me. And
not
my family. Yeah, I do have, like, aunts and uncles who are, like, always reading something. But I was always a bookworm. Always. Mm. Like, if you go through family holiday photos from like literally right back until I'm about five or six, I will have a book in most photos. I'll just be reading a book wherever we're going, you know? And I remember doing that on holidays. So I've always been really into books. And when I did my A-levels, I originally took A-levels with the thought that I would go into psychology. And that's what I thought I was going to be doing at uni. And then it kind of, I did stats for part of that, like maths, which I'm not great at. And I kind of like scraped a B, I think, in my like A1 in like the first year. And I remember one of my teachers just being like, Ella, like, you can carry on doing this, but you've got an A in all of these subjects. Like, I don't know why you're carrying on in this, love the this encouragement. Direction. Yeah, he was like, I just want to tell you that, like, you know, that your marks compared in these two subjects, like, I just think you'd be stupid to not,
hard as hell. Like, getting a B in that's still well impressive.
No, but I think it is, like, it was almost a C that I got. And then it was, like, geography that I dropped. And it was this, my geography teacher who was like, you literally got like a really high A in this. Like, you could do way better in this and like work, you know, maybe a little less hard to do it than if you choose what you're doing now. And I just kind of had to be like, what do I want to do? Like, do I actually want to do psychology? Like, is that actually what I want to? And I had an amazing English teacher as well, who I had from like year 9 onwards. I had the same teacher every year, just
no way,
by coincidence. And she was amazing, and I think she could clearly see that I loved it and was very good at pushing me to kind of get to that next level. And I think that I just sat down and I thought about it. I thought, what do I actually enjoy doing? Like, what am I actually loving that I've chosen to do? It's English.
So
I might as well just go and do that. And I'm always kind of like that. Like, I'm quite driven by what do I want to do rather than what job is this going to get me?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, and I've always been like that. And that was never, ever, ever my, even when I was like, oh, I'm going to do psychology, I was never kind of really like, oh, I'm going to be a psychologist, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. It was like, oh, this could be interesting. Yeah, I've just always loved books. I think it's probably a bit obvious now I look back that.
But you hate geography and that's it.
Oh, do you know what? I really hated it when I did it.
Oh, really?
In the first year of A-level. And I kind of liked it a bit more in the second year, but I really hated it the first year I did it. I don't know why. I just had this thing where I was like, fuck geography.
I love how aggressive that is as well.
I know, and I was like, I'm gonna drop it, talking about how I'm gonna drop it the whole time and just come back the next year like,
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Oh, hey guys.
I'm back.
Oh, that's mad. That's so about, and this will be the last that I touch on this because I don't want to get you repeating yourself, you know. But English lit and reading books, is it about the like the new adventures that you go on every time that you read a new piece of literature, or is it about the ideas that you take from them and what you can move forward with?
I think it is a bit of both, to be honest. I think it's maybe because I've done English lit and I've studied it, I have that kind of those tools in my arsenal a little bit more now, and I have a little bit more knowledge there, so it's easier to make connections between those ideas, and it's quite an interesting thing to think about. But at the same time, I think there's just something about walking in someone else's shoes and like going on this journey, and like, yeah, just the story. Like, I love stories. Even the podcasts I listen to, a lot of them are stories, even if they're like nonfiction in real life. It's a story, and I don't know, there's just something about human stories that just I find really fascinating. I think it is that, because like one of my favorite types, like genres of literature, is magic realism, which is like a little bit surreal, and it's not fantasy, it's very much set in the real world, but there's magic as well. Like it's kind of these crazy things happen, and it's not it's kind of taken as normal I don't know. Yeah, it's a very interesting genre. And there's actually, I think it was a South American, there's a lot of South American writers who write in that style, particularly from like the 70s or 80s or whatever. And I just love it. It's just so interesting and fascinating. And like, I don't know, it's just like a bit of a break from reality, isn't it? But
But
in a
still
way,
keeps it
there's.
like a little bit real, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And like the ideas that are present within that, it's like you just get them by osmosis, you know? You don't have to think too hard about it. You're just kind of absorbing them in the guise of a story
Yeah, I
that's
suppose,
been
'cause you could
thrown your
compare it
stuff in.
against reality, I suppose, and then see
Yeah.
where the additions are and why they thought that that was possible or appropriate or where the origins came from. And
Yeah, like I think it's, I remember reading something about magic realism where it's like it's got these magic elements, but what they actually do is kind of bring into contrast and highlight the like reality even more and kind of shine a light on like what the author's actually the point they're trying to make, which is quite a lot of the time based in the real world, and it is a comment about something that's going on or was going on at that time. And but it's just kind of like heightened and elevated through this use of magic to kind of make that point is really interesting
That's
to
cool.
me, that it brings it into focus a little bit more, which
Yeah,
is
it's a really easy emphasis on certain points because that's how they use it. Oh, that's a crazy interpretation. I love that.
It's really interesting. And it's actually really linked to a lot of like post-colonial writing. Not all of post-colonial writing, but a lot of magic realism comes from post-colonial authors, so people who are from countries who have been colonized. And it's almost this like I remember reading an essay where they were talking about using magic to rationalize or make sense of what has happened to not just them but the country they live in, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to live in a country where you are a second-class citizen, where your history's been wiped out by another country, where you are like living under rule of someone else, telling you what you are, what your people are, and what that means. It doesn't, there's like this really discordant, it doesn't make any sense. And the only way to make sense of it is to use something that is like surreal and a bit fantasy or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like because it doesn't make any sense in reality, it's like a coping, it's a way of working through it.
Yeah, in order to make it feel like, in order to understand that it's mapping the actual reality of the situation against the extremes of magic within a real setting, where some elements are consistent but some of them are not. And I guess that the only way to justify that is to assume that something beyond the means of what you thought would be possible against normal consistencies. Would that be a good way to, probably a very Kenny way to describe that, but got
And I
there
mean,
eventually.
obviously, that's not like blanket the case in every single, magic realist book, but it's like a really interesting way of understanding the use of magic. And also it's a way of like magic and spiritualism and all of those kind of things are really put down in Western culture. Like we don't believe in magic, we don't believe in ghosts, we believe in reason and science and these things that you can prove. And it's kind of been like pushed to the side, and I think it's a way of like centering those things again, giving them the value, kind of not making people seem stupid for believing in it, or like, oh, how could you think that? It's like, no, there's a place for this, and it makes sense in, in a context 100%. It's not, it validates it basically, which is interesting.
And even though that it's supposed to come across as quite a literal metaphor, I suppose, it still sets itself into a perspective of reality, which again, if it goes back to someone's true experience, then that interpretation would be that why wouldn't the effect of that, rather than the execution of it, would not be as real as, reality, if that makes sense. I guess that they're
Absolutely.
both the end goal ends up being the same, that you would still get the same feeling, you still get the same experience, regardless of how that story is told. So
Exactly that.
that's really interesting.
It is
I
really
never knew that,
interesting.
I never knew. Well, loads of stuff that you spoke about.
Yeah.
I didn't know. So
Yeah.
it's
I'll give
fine.
you a list of books because there's actually I'm gonna just chuck my charger, but there's actually it's like a book of short stories called I think it's like Ghosts of Migration or something by a writer called Pauline Melville, which is like a really great like illustration of like everything I've just said in all these like little bite-sized stories.
No way. That's cool.
Yeah, it's just they have all those ideas are just so present in all of them, and they're just great, entertaining, good little stories to read as well.
Yeah, man, that's it.
Yeah,
And
I'm just gonna
to be
plug
fair, I'm a terribly slow reader. Like,
that. Short stories is probably good for
yeah,
you
it probably is good because the thing is, when I get
though.
absorbed into something, I'm a bit like, oh yeah, this is it. But like, I tend to just read loads of really dry stuff right now, so it's
Yeah.
not quite the same. I'm gonna pivot you,
Yeah, do it.
and
I'm just.
almost approach what I think to be a bit of a roundup, which I've already prepped you
Yeah.
for, but I won't do that just yet. But just to relate things back to what draws our past together, right?
Yeah.
Soft serve in particular. We've touched on some of the values that we're kind of sharing and trying to put forward in general, but one of the questions we've got written down is, what do you want soft serve to become? And you can choose that from any angle. Like, is that
Yeah.
something in terms of your contribution through it and how it manifests, or what you want it to try and achieve from like a machine perspective, whatever that you wish.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Because like we always talk about, you always talk about kind of that idea of like identity and things never being like fully set until it's done and dusted and you can't change anymore. And it's kind of, I feel like that's relevant here in that we're always moving and changing and yeah, finding different ways to kind of do things. And I feel like we're in that period where we're like settling on something and kind of working out what is it that we're doing here. And you know, it is music management in one sense, but is it just that, you know? And I think like if we can work with some artists, give them the knowledge, the tools, the confidence to continue on in their careers and kind of have that level of support in those early kind of times that like maybe you wouldn't get elsewhere, like that is something that I want to do, is help people get where they want to be going and in the best way possible. That's definitely part of it. And we've also kind of spoken about like how can we be a network, how can we join people together, share our values, I guess, and actually learn from other people as well, you know, like have this kind of connected place. Yeah, I don't know what that looks like right now, but I think it's, yeah, connection, communication, those are two things that I think are really important, and doing things in the way that we know is right, you know what I mean? Just kind of in the right way. I don't know, in a way that values people, not their products, you know?
Yeah, and
I mean,
it's
the product also, but the
as
ultimate
well.
value is the artist and the person and what they're bringing to the table, you know? And if they make a bit of money, great. That's kind of ultimately what we're aiming to do, but it's not at the expense of the artist, you know? It's like they grow rather than get kind of taken from, if that
Yeah.
makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the difference from all of the conversations we've had prior as well, that notion I think is fully supported, and I think that more than ever it's really necessary right now because there is a machine in terms of thing you can talk about algorithms and what the best case scenario is and how the product should be and what's popular right now, but actually everything it was in that identity deck that I did, but everything's like I categorize it in my mind as belonging or becoming. And belonging is something that already exists that you're going along with, and becoming is doing something brand new. And everything that is belonging, so things that people are doing already, had to once be done for the first time as it is. And that's usually how trends are kind of being set, and how people's and how fashion and experience and identity moves throughout people, and how we unify and stuff. And yeah, I totally agree to think that everything's a lot more fluid now. But actually, that perspective's the other way around. Yeah, we have a machine, but how does this artist present itself within that, rather than get the artist in there and just like, this is the best case scenario to sort of grow it from that way. It's like, it's not just like some weird sort of seed machine. It's very much picking out the bits that best sort of helps that artist grow in the best way that it can, because without, you can't compress the artist.
That's it. And not like, oh, okay, everyone's doing this, so you have to make that work for you.
Get on TikTok.
Trend.
Try me. Yeah, that's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Is that actually there's a community that can be represented everywhere. Yeah, I feel that.
Definitely.
So I feel like I've learned, I mean, I've known you for years anyway. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of things that I suspect were true, but knowing that depth is like really, really cool. With all things that you're up to with Studio Curve and what has led you to all of those moments, all of the things has led our past through, like, through thick and thin that we've traveled through, and today that we've arrived at a castle that we're trying to build from the ground up, and always just making new chambers as such, you know?
Yeah.
Through every line of every book that you've read, the experiences all matter today. I've got a summary of two questions that I just wanted real quick fire answers for. They're very simple questions. You can answer them as you wish, you know?
Yeah.
So the first one is, Ella, what do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good question, isn't it? What do? I work with artists and creatives. I essentially probably am a producer, but really, I guess I work with ideas and just try to push those forward in the most authentic way possible, and add the value where I see it, basically, and just try and like push that out to the world in the way that makes the most sense, and for both the people consuming it and also the artists as well. So just connecting those dots really between here's the project, here's the world.
and why do you do all of those things?
Probably at the core of it, because art and creativity and ideas and communicating those things creatively are like one of the like cornerstones to existence, I think, you know. For me personally, it's like such an innate thing that humans just want to create. Even if you're not creative, we have that in us to express ourselves and our ideas in a way that is beyond words most of the time, you know, whether it be movement or pictures or moving our arms around when we talk, you know, it's so central to our existence and our perception of our existence and our understanding of our existence that like really it's one of the main things that matters to me. It's why I get up in the morning, you know, so I can go and read the book or watch the new film or, you know, whatever it is, like, yeah.
I love that. No, I love that so much. Yeah. And like, and thanks so much for your time as well. That's really cool. I think that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have a lot of value out of that, 100%. But like, just a hella like plugs and everything. That's sweet. That was really, really cool. Also, I can't believe that we've not had an opportunity to do something like this in such a long time. Well, I need to, we'll do more stuff like this as well, because but what I might do next time is like get really precise on a particular topic, in that, especially something that might either be current or something that people are kind of speaking about, or
I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, and then sort of get that insight, because the dichotomy between us makes us like a real impressive fortification, because on my side of things is a lot more like I see the system side of things, but actually from your side of things it's like so much depth, which makes sense to the artist development side. It's like the true understanding and how to represent that in the world, because you've seen so many corners of it, you know.
Yeah.
And to move that in a way that's like current but also considerate of so much history that's before it as well, and like
yeah,
I just need to pick up my reading speed so I can catch up.
Yeah.